We start recording now and you can get started.
Okay. I want to begin by saying Alafia. And when I say Alafia, your response is Sha Alafia ni. Alafia.
Sha Alafia ni.
Very good. What I have said, that is a greeting wherein I am asking that you have good health and be at peace with your neighbor. And I always start that way because I want people to take a moment and see if you can imagine what it would feel like if good health and having peace with our neighbors were our number one concerns. It's an amazing thing to consider in this day and age when we're living with so much tumult, so much upheaval, so much alienation, and very much my concern, so much misguidance. Today, we are talking about the open road inquiry process. Okay. And the first thing I want to do is give praise and thanks to the ancestors of the world, because we are blessed in that all of our ancestors developed some systems of guidance that we can call on. I'm going to do an overview of the ones that I am familiar with and go a little bit deeper into some of the African systems. But before we go into that, the truth of the matter is the people who created the I Ching, for example, the Chinese, the Taoists, say that when the truth is being told, all oracles agree. I am blessed to be somebody who is in touch with people from many different traditions using many different oracles, and they all are agreeing that this is a crucial time for the people on planet Earth. They all agree that our present behavior is having impact on each other on the planet, and even impact in the cosmos itself. And they all agree that there's a collapse of culture going on, and that some of us who are smart enough to seek the right guidance and to use our ashe, our energies in the right way, will be towers of light standing in the rubble. We'll be the ones who have the energy to reconstruct culture. We'll be the ones who know and have the commitment to cleaning up the mess that is being made. And we'll be the ones that the deities of the higher realm will see are at work. So I want you to understand that this is a colossal issue, because we are facing a very, very unusual time. We've gone beyond critical mass and turning point, and so proper guidance is important. Everybody take a deep breath. One of the realities that Western education does not teach us is the truth that we are children of nature. We're children of the cosmos, we're children of nature, and we are just getting around, beginning to understand that we are made of the same energy as the rain, the trees, the animals, the spirits and each other. It's taken a long time for us to come away from the mechanistic materialist monist point of view on life. And as such, once we realize that we are all made of the same energy, it becomes a matter of understanding that the energy has manifested itself in different ways. It has manifested as stone. It has manifested as plant. It has manifested as animal. It has manifested as human. And it has manifested as spirit. Okay. So if you can imagine that all of these existences are merely different manifestations of energy, then you will recognize that it is possible to awaken different layers of energy within yourself so that you can interact with energies and entities on other levels. The most obvious way is our relationship to plants. You plant a seed and it grows and you eat the fruit of that plant and then you plant the seed. And so we are interacting in with the plant in a way that is reciprocal. If we save heirloom seeds, if we create cultivars, then the plant listens to what we are trying to do, and it becomes the heirloom that we are preserving, or it becomes the hybrid that we are preserving. There are many people who have a clear understanding that we talk to plants. We now know that we play music to certain plants and they respond. Anybody who's ever had a cat or a dog and who established a relationship with that being knows that there is communication between you and that creature. You develop a language, you understand each other's behavior, okay? So those two are very easy to understand. I think the hardest thing for us is to understand talking to other human beings. And some people imagine that the rock is inanimate, which quantum physics has shown that that is not so. But talking to ourselves and talking to our indwelling spirit is what today is all about. This is what we need to discuss. I need you to understand that all of existence is constantly emanating information that we can use for guidance if we can tune ourselves into the right frequency to understand what is being said. So all of our ancestors had omens in nature. Everybody will tell you that, you know, the flight patterns of birds say things, where things grow say things, what the seasons say things, etc. But our ancestors learned to gaze into the water and to quiet what we call the monkey mind. You know, the monkey mind is that voice in your head that's always chattering. It's always telling you what you can do. It's always criticizing. It is always impacted by, you know, the latest advertisement. Things go better with Coke or what you've seen on television. And one of the things you really have to do in order to receive wisdom is to shut down the monkey mind. You have to shut that down so that you can receive. With millennia of humans knowing that we can both receive messages from the forces of nature, and we can make requests of the forces of nature. We come to understand that we live in a universe that is receptive and responsive. We live in a universe that is receptive and responsive. And, you know, in some ways, people have done studies that show if a group of people concentrate on clouds, they can induce rain. This is something Native people have known a long time. Various experiments are beginning to prove this. But what I want to do today is hone in on some of the systems that our ancestors have created in order for us to receive guidance on how we should interact with forces of nature. Okay, everybody, take a deep breath. We can communicate with nature and spirit through tea leaves, through crystals, through tarot cards, through cowrie shells, through palm nuts, through yarrow sticks, through playing cards, through dominoes, through all kinds of oracles will work once we shut down the monkey mind and we employ our psychokinetic power. By psychokinetic power, I mean that if you pick up a deck of cards and you concentrate on a question while you are shuffling the cards, the energy in your body will interact with those cards in such a way that when you stop, your hand will land on the card that has the symbolism that relates to the question that you are asking. Okay, that's a very simplified way of speaking of it, but know that entire systems have been created for people to be able to read cards, be able to read bones, be able to read shells, be able to read tea leaves. And the systems is what we are grateful to the ancestors for, because over generations, they have added to our body of knowledge about how this works. And, you know, to a certain extent, what we call modern psychology has been an attempt to replace the kind of guidance and healing that comes from consulting our oracles. Two things are important to discuss here that always comes up. Those of us who have been educated in the West, perhaps you have a question about destiny and free will. I have to say that most often when when it's time to have these discussions, it's usually a young man who will stand up and say, well, I understand about consulting oracles, but what about my free will? Let me put it this way. Free choice is a better way to speak about that. If we look at the big picture, we are sitting on a planet that is spinning around the sun. That is already determined. Earth, air, fire, and water exists. That is already determined. The laws of nature and the cosmos are already determined. Your destiny has to do with certain decisions that your spirit made at a primal point. So you agreed to come to Earth at this point in time. You agreed to be born into the body that you are in. You came in here with a contract with creation. You of your spirit agreed to be somebody, to do some things, and to create the resources, acquire the resources to fulfill the things that you came here to do. Okay. And that was a decision that you made. That was an act of will in the realm of the sacred. Now, our Western educations do not teach us about that part of the contract. So most often, we are in what we think is a battle between destiny and free will post the descent into the physical. Okay, so here I am today. I have chosen to be a Black woman who is alive at this point in history. And I chose to be somebody who would be a storyteller, a performer. You know, I made certain choices along the way. So if you think of yourself as somebody who made some choices before you came to Earth, this is so obvious in our children sometimes. Our children come in with personalities, they come in with talents, they come in with predispositions, but then they come into a world where they interact with others and are impacted by chance. Destiny is impacted now by chance because you encounter other people with other destinies and other energies. And sometimes you can be in the wrong place at the wrong time, or you can be in the right place at the right time and encounter other people who help you to make a better choice. We're talking about destiny, chance, and choice. Perhaps up to this point, maybe your destiny has been subjected to chance. You know, we say, I am myself plus my circumstances. I am shaped by the things that have happened to me, or by the things that have been denied me, or by the people who have mentored and influenced me. And now I wish to take more of power of choice into my own hands. I wish to be able to choose more clearly how I manifest the destiny that I have chosen. Now, is that making sense to people? Before I go on, I need to know if what I've said so far makes sense to you. Is anybody confused about what I just said? Or does anybody need to ask a question about what I just said?
No, makes complete sense.
Everybody got it?
Yes, it makes sense.
Okay. Okay, so now this is important because far too much of what we have been exposed to devalues us. You know, too much makes you feel like you were powerless or you were born wrong. You know, it's like you're not going to go. Okay, we're not going to go through all of that. What we're going to do now is look at you as the person who chose not only a good destiny, but an interesting one. If you are alive and conscious right now, you are subject, you know, there's an old Chinese curse that says, may you be born in interesting times, right? And you are here, so, you know, you've been born in interesting times, and you're sitting here talking with me, so any notion you have that you might be just regular, you can forget that. If you were regular, you wouldn't even be here. Not in this room and not with me. So I'm clear that everybody on this call knows that they came to be one of the beams of light that is going to stand in the rubble, one of the beams of light who are going to receive the messages from spirit and the cosmos so that we can build the better world, so that we can be part of the manifestation of heaven on earth. Okay, so I'm coming from that place. Everybody take a deep breath. So here we find ourselves in very interesting and very troubled times. And your question is, what is my role in all of this? And how do I go about manifesting the best of my ashe? First of all, I want to say that anything that you do, that you love doing, that you do well, and that your community has good use for, that is a place where you can see your ashe. You may have good cookie making ashe. You may have good growing ashe. You may have any kind, any number of ways in which you positively manifest energy. And it's important that you recognize that you respect that, and that you use that. All too often, again, we live in a culture that says, you know, it's more important to be a rocket scientist than to be a school teacher. How many rocket scientists do we need? Okay. We need many more teachers to keep life going on Earth. So I want you to just take a minute and assess the things that you do well, the things that you know, the services that you provide, and understand that whenever you consult an oracle of any kind, the question that you are asking is important, because at the heart of it is a desire to manifest your E-ray with guidance. Now, even if we step away from typical Western education, one of the things that really, really bothers me is we also live in a time of spiritual awakening, where some of it is an awakening to wisdom and some of it is just plain bullshit. Let me be clear, okay? Some of it is just plain bullshit. You have people preaching all kinds of things that can, some of it, you know, has some measure of truth to it. And some of it is just bullshit that people are making up. And here you come innocently seeking guidance, and you can get slapped with all kinds of stuff. I'm gonna say quite clear. When they made the whole big hullabaloo over the secret some years ago, okay, it ain't no secret. It ain't been no secret. Indigenous people have known it for generations, for centuries, and used it, and things were thrown completely out of proportion because after that, I encountered people who said, nothing is real if I don't believe in it, thereby negating anything in the cosmos and in nature that they themselves didn't feel like they had complete control over. That is gross egotism. Okay. What we are talking about here is receiving the guidance to make yourself a tuning fork so that you can get in alignment with the forces of the cosmos, the nature and spirit, to place yourself in a place of functioning and of advantage. So maybe you have encountered things like the story of the sorcerer's apprentice who said he was gonna bend the forces of nature to his will. No, let's throw that out right now, okay? You didn't do nothing. You are being shit. You are informed to be in positive flow with your own destiny and with the forces of nature. So which one of the things has been thrown at you? Well, you have absolute power, and the whole universe is gonna, you know, bow, beck and call, or you have no power and you're a complete victim who just has to submit to the church, or you shouldn't have any desire at all, you shouldn't want anything at all, or you should have unqualified gratitude and you are grateful for everything no matter how oppressive it is. You should always be passive, or you should always be aggressive, or you should always be. We need to shut that down. We need to shut that down. Every life has seasons, and every situation has specific responses that will make for the best of manifesting your destiny. The year has seasons, the earth has seasons, your life has seasons, and you are always trying to manifest the best of your destiny within its season. That is what guidance is supposed to provide. Take a deep breath. Now let's go to any one of our systems, whether it is tarot or cowrie shells or tea leaves or casting bones or talking to crystals. What becomes important is who is the I that am asking the question? Who is the I that am asking the question? And how is the question posed? And how is the answer received? Okay. You and I, us, all who are on this call, have made an agreement to come to Earth at this time to be human and to participate. But we may each have things in common and things that are absolutely unique to each of us. So we work together where our energies flow together, but there is never a time when I should demand that you be me. That's ridiculous. It doesn't work. Okay. And so you must come to the oracle asking not what do I have to do to become a member of the in crowd, or what do I have to do to outshine somebody else, but what is my best destiny? What is going to bring good fortune? What is the best use of my energy? It is my responsibility here. You have to know who you are. And sometimes people come to Oracle because they don't know who they are, or asking guidance on who they should be. And that's where the diviner provides some guidance in how to ask the question. If you're asking for a reading on your consciousness, you're asking something different than if you were just asking, should I take this job? You know, those things will intersect with each other. But how do I cultivate my consciousness is a bigger question than should I take this job. If you are asking about your consciousness and we get that straight, where the job fits in your consciousness will be obvious, okay? Your question is best posed when there is a verb involved in the question, okay? To be, to do. To be, to do. I have found this to be especially true when using the I Ching, the Chinese system. I've seen people go to the I Ching and say, what's going to happen tomorrow? And you can get some random, you know, the sun going to shine tomorrow. Tomorrow, some people going to dip the bucket in the well and pull up some water. If you pose the question, what must I do? What changes must I make in order to have a favorable outcome to my concern? You get a very different answer with changing lines that tell you where to focus and how to change. Within the African systems, you get guidelines called Ebo. What actions you need to take, what sacrifices you need to make, what kind of offerings, right? And what is really, really important, and I'm going to use the I Ching and the tarot in this case, and then I'm going to go on and talk and ask the questions and then begin to talk more about the African systems. But what is really funny is the people who do what I call query hopping. You know, you come and you get divination from somebody and you don't like what they say it, so you go to somebody else and you don't like what they say it. And so you go to somebody else and you don't like what they said, and you keep doing that until you find somebody who's willing to lie to you. Until you find somebody who's willing to take your money and tell you what you want to hear. The I Ching is very, very interesting in that you can ask the Ching a question, and there's a certain hexagram that comes up, I think it's 31, that says, you have asked a question, But the question you really need to ask is, do you have the character to do what you're asking to do? It will tell you to examine yourself, cast the oracle again, and see if you have the character. There's another one, hexagram number 4, youthful folly, it's called. And that comes up when you ask the oracle a question, you don't like the answer that you got, and so you try rewording the question, but you're still asking basically the same question. Hexagram number 4 says, you young fool, I did not bother you. I told you what I had to say. Now you're bothering me, the oracle, and that's a little dangerous. That's a little disrespectful. Anybody, look up hexagram 4, you'll see what I'm saying. And then there is 36, intelligence wounded, obscuring of the light, where it's basically telling you, be quiet. Just shut up and be still. Okay? All the others give you very, very explicit instructions about, you know, tuning into the will of heaven and earth, or walking carefully over the ice, or gathering your people together, or serving the emperor, or, you know, meditating at the lake. They're very, 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 very clear instructions on what to do. And even though people don't think of it this way, there are hexagrams where the I Ching is telling you to make an offering, a simple bowl of rice and a glass of water. So you have to learn how to understand the symbolism in what these oracles are saying, and then how to embody, how to enact what they are saying. And this is true of the bones, this is true of the runes, this is true of playing cards, this is true of tarot, this is true when you are paying attention to the behavior of birds. Now, I have a wonderful relationship with birds. And I want to tell you a very true occurrence. When I was traveling around doing workshops and stuff, I got called to a place in the Midwest where the land is very flat, and, you know, it was a meditative place. My plane got in late. I think either other people had already gone to their cabins, or the other teachers had gone to their cabins. The students hadn't arrived yet. I went to my cabin. I looked out, and in the middle of the field, I saw a hot tub. Well, I had the opportunity to have the hot tub all to myself, and the whole place was quiet, right? So I put my stuff away, and I went out there and I got in the hot tub. I'm just soaking and having a good time. And here came a flock of blackbirds. And they flew in a circle around the tub. And at first I just thought, oh, how nice. You know, I've attracted the birds, right? And they flew in the circle again. And they got closer to me and landed on the ground. And then they flew in a circle again, and they landed on the edge of the tub. Now imagine me in the tub with like a dozen or more blackbirds sitting on the edge of it looking at me. Now I have to pay attention. So I'm looking at them, and finally I said, what are you all trying to tell me? And when I said that, in unison, those birds lifted up, they swooped around the tub, and they left. And I said, they telling me to get my ass up out of this tub, right? I got out of the tub, I grabbed my towel, I went to my cabin, I got a cup of tea, and I looked out, and that tub got struck by lightning. Okay? We want to learn to not be so busy with monkey mind that you cannot pay attention when nature is talking to you. And this is one of the distractions of modern life. You got lights bleeping, you got horns blinking, you got all of this stuff going on. And sometimes we cannot read the weather the way our ancestors did, or pay attention to the creatures the way our ancestors did. And we must return to that in order to get back in touch with really being children of nature. Okay. So who you are, you have to be somebody who is willing to pay attention, who is willing to hear the truth, and who is willing to do the follow-up to manifest the best of your own chosen destiny. When you come to the oracle, you have to be the person who is willing to ask the right question, who is willing to receive the answer, who is willing to do the follow-up to manifest your own best destiny. Okay. Before I go on, are there any questions about that? Because I'm about to hone in more pointedly now and talk about the African oracle.
You are unmuted.
Any questions, anybody? Okay, that's
okay.
Okay, you can.
Okay, you can.
Everybody need to mute. Even
right.
That person with the dishes and the baby in the background need to mute.
Okay, so now let's talk about the African oracles, right? I'm gonna name four, and you may or may not be familiar with them. Let me say overview that we can understand that the various oracles that I am talking about in the old world covered the area from what we think of as the Mediterranean or the southern tip of Europe all the way down to South Africa, and think about it as spreading out from the center of Africa in each direction, okay? Those of you who are familiar with the Bible will remember there's the casting of lots. Those of you who are familiar with Greek and Roman mythology, you will be familiar with them cutting oracles in the sand. There is always a way to make connection. Women in East Africa have a habit of water gazing in the river and looking in the reflection of the moon. As human beings, we read seeds, shells, stones, bones, leaves, sticks, all kinds of things. First of all, I highly recommend that people understand that your dreams are an oracle. The surviving intelligence of the ancestors talks to us in dreams. Our own consciousness talks to us in dreams. And it is very, very important that you understand your own symbol system. Don't just adopt Freud. Develop your own symbol system. Dreams are very, very important. Certain themes show up over and over again. You need to pay attention to those and keep track of them. Follow the advice when the advice is good. You know, modern psychology likes to do this thing where they say, you are every character in the dream. That's a cute little game. But if you have a dream about me and it's real clear that it's me, please call me up and tell me about the dream. All right. Whether it makes sense to you or not, it will probably make sense to me. And in the past, I have had dreams about people and told them, and they said it saved their life. The individualistic attitude toward the dream is not the indigenous attitude. Native American people know that we dream continuing chapters of the community story. The people in Australia dream the land. People dream their children. And there are people who barely talk to each other except in dreams. So we got to go beyond the Western notion of the dream as just an expression of individual psychological disorder. Okay. The next thing I want you to take a look at is the way that there are various systems, okay? Within the African diaspora, and now I am talking about what was created by the combination of people who were imported to various other hemispheres out of Africa, who blended with native people in the places where they were taken, and who survived under an overlay of Christianity, of Islam, of different things, but where the indigenous ways were pressed down and yet kept, okay? We are looking at Brazil, Cuba, Haiti, Venezuela, certain parts of the United States, and in this last century, these traditions have traveled all over the world. The simplest form that we have is something that was developed in Cuba as an adaptation. It's called Darle Coco. And it is an adaptation of reading Obi, where we use four pieces of coconut and invocations are done, prayers are said, and we put ourselves in alignment with the intelligence in the Darle Coco system. And when we cast, the way that those pieces fall give us a response and a directive to our question. That is the simplest form. That form translates into OB. That translates into four cowrie shells. Okay, and I'm gonna come back and talk about that. And that system of four cowries is the child of the system known as Dilogun, which is 16 cowries, which is the one that I am offering people during the coming period. And Dilogun is born out of Ifa, which is the matrix for all of these. So, you know, there's like Darley Coco, and Four Calories would be elementary school. 16 Calories would be graduating from college, and E5 would be having a PhD in the knowledge that has been preserved within the divinatory systems coming out of the African diaspora. So let's say that Sister A has a concern about whether or not she is manifesting the best of her destiny, or she feels like she's lost track of where she was going, she's gotten off center, and needs information about what do I do now in order to take the next step, in order to do the right thing. With the proper invocations, with the proper state of mind, and with the proper tools, the oracle is going to contact forces in the cosmos, awaken nature around you, get in touch with the surviving intelligence of those ancestors who are favorably disposed toward you, and align your consciousness with the functioning of that oracle. And when that oracle falls, it is going to give you a proverb. It's going to give the diviner a story. From that story, the diviner will be able to make some predictions about which patterns will be manifesting in your life, and will also give some prescriptions for what you can do to change the energy, to get back on track, to avert danger, to manifest the best of your destiny at this time. And that's a lot. That's a lot. Now, one of the dangers that we have, there's two. That's the one where, you know, people go to a diviner. Let's say that sister comes and she wants to know, what do I have to do to build my life? And I say, well, here's the Odu that has come down. That's what it's called, the Odu. And the Odu says that you must build a strong foundation in order to avoid a collapse. And in order to build that foundation, you need to do poles number 1, 2, 3, and 4, and then put a platform on. Well, what happens is Sister B does pole number 1, 2, and 3. But she decides 4 is too hard for her to do. And so she goes to another diviner who tells her you need to do pole number 1, 2, 3, and 4. And she says, well, you know, I did 1, 2, and 3 already. Maybe I'll just do 2, 3, and 4. Because 1 really was too hard. And then she goes to somebody else. She keep doing that and keep doing that. And one day she has a tower that must crumble because of the weaknesses in it. When you don't finish the ritual, you create a structure that will collapse. This is why it's important to slow down and do all of the follow-up. It is important to understand that the ritual that you are doing is an extrovert meditation. It's called Ebo when you have something to do. You don't do Ebo rotely. Well, you know, I was divining, and they told me to give Oshun some honey and this, that, and the other. Well, you know, if you're going to go down to the river and you're going to offer Oshun some honey, don't go down there mindlessly pouring honey in the river and think that you've done it both. When you go down there, you have to go down there thinking about and feeling about what does the river symbolize. You have to go down there knowing that you are offering honey to the river because that is the river of life and you want to sweeten the flow of your life. You have to go down there with a prayer sincerely uttered, and you have to go down there with a mind that is not monkey chattering so that you can hear what she is saying. You have to understand the symbolism. And you have to keep track of. I insist that people keep a notebook where your readings are written down, where you perform the rituals that are prescribed for you, that you make a note of how you felt when you did it, and you make a note of what manifested after you did it, okay? It becomes very, very important that you understand that you are involved in a process of continuous creation. There's no such thing as a meaningless act. Every act has some sort of impact on you and or nature of the people in the cosmos. And so mindfulness is an important part of consulting the oracle. Follow through is an important part. And then watching how things manifest is a very, very important part. Take a deep breath. And now we come very pointedly to what we need to take a look at. Everybody understands beginnings, points of transformation, and ending. Okay. We are sitting here in December at the end of a very, very stressful calendar year. Okay. And in order for us to go forward, it's going to be important to review what we have gone through, to know what has been of value that we can hold on to, and to let go of anything that needs to be released, not with a sense of failure necessarily, but with a sense of understanding that time is moving on, with an understanding that this is winter, the period of hibernation and regeneration, with an understanding, you know, of the snake slipping out of her skin in order to be renewed. Now, you know, one of the problems with the perception that we are given is we understand that the winter solstice is the longest night of the year, where, you know, the darkness is deep. But the fact that the Western world places New Year's at January 1st is not really accurate in terms of the Earth's time. The year is truly new March 21st, during the spring equinox. Okay. So we're in a place right now where we want to get guidance on what is it that I let go of from 2016. What do I take into incubation with me during the winter months? And what is it that I need to do in order to blossom in spring? Okay, now different cultures do this in different ways. Cuban directed houses often do a big ceremony for Omolu, who's a deity who removes illness, etc. I tend to do a big ceremony for Olokun, the owner of the deep, to wash away everything, and then admonish people to spend the winter looking inward and rebuilding your energy and preparing for spring. In the Mediterranean, we see what's called Persephone's descent, where she's kidnapped by Pluto and taken to the underworld and is walking around in darkness, and she does not see it until February 2nd. She sees the light penetrating the darkness and begins to move toward it and comes up on land March 21st. The whole time that she's been down there, her mother, Demeter, has been mourning her and covering the earth with snow. You see what I'm saying? So it's all connected to your relationship to the time of the year, what nature's doing, what body is doing, what consciousness is doing. And so if you ask the right question, if you inquire of the oracle in the right way, you can find out what it is you need to release, what it is you need to nurture, and how you can leap into spring. It is this threefold inquiry that will give you an open road for the rest of the year. And this is cyclical. This should be done on a regular basis. Now, some people like to get a reading on their birthday or on the anniversary of something, you know, but it is very, very important to look at it from the standpoint of closing out the year, incubating and preparing for that which is coming. It is my own practice to do a divination for my extended family, to make contact with other diviners who are divining for the fate or the destiny of the United States and of the world. And I get these from all over the world, from Cuba, from Venezuela, from Ile-Ife, from people in various traditions. And as the Chinese say, when the truth is being told, all oracles agree. It is very, very important to have a system whereby you check in with yourself in addition to consulting a diviner. If you're somebody who meditates in the morning or who does dream work before you go to sleep, make sure, you know, that you're checking in with your source of guidance and inspiration, because there are so many things that can throw us off track, and there are so many energies that we need to interact with. In 2016, we had several eclipses and some super moons whose impact we are still going to be seeing as we're folding over into the next year. Keep track of planetary motions, especially Mercury retrograde. Oh, God. Oh, Mercury retrograde. You know, some people have PMS. I have PRMS, pre-retrograde Mercury syndrome. when I know Mercury's about to go retrograde, it really plucks my nerves because communications messes up, transportation messes up, writing messes up. And the best thing there is RE, review, redo, renew, recycle, re. So we learn how to make the best use of all of these different energies. With an eclipse, you ask that that which is no longer any good go into the darkness, and that which is in the darkness of potential come into the light. I highly recommend full moon and new moon rituals. And, you know, last year I was posting them throughout the summer so that you are constantly receiving guidance. What you must not do is become fearfully obsessed. What you must do is understand the guiding principles that will help you on your open road. I lectured at a class at UC Berkeley the other day, and true to form, it was a young white man who stood up and said, well, you know, I understand that you're talking to these ancestors and you're doing all this spiritual work, but do you decide what you're going to have for breakfast? Where's your free will? You see how absurd that question is, right? But there's always that fear of the loss of what we think is free will, when what we mean is free choice. And I had to say, no, I don't have to consult the oracle to ask what I should have for breakfast, but the conditions of my health is my oracle. The conditions of my health and my personal taste says, do not go to McDonald's for breakfast. You see what I'm saying? So there is a way that common sense and foreknowledge is also a form of oracle that helps you to orchestrate your everyday life. I think it's time for me to stop talking and ask questions and make room for questions. Yes, Leah, is that so?
Yes, yeah, that's the case. So what we should do now is if you have a question, you can unmute yourself to ask your question, and I'll be moderating in the background. So go ahead and unmute yourself and introduce yourself with your name, please. And let's keep our questions brief, phrasing it with, you know, your most important question within about 30 to 60 seconds, please.
Does that mean there are no questions? Or is somebody being shy? I should always say, you know, never be afraid that sometimes people say, well, my question is probably too silly. If it's silly, I'll tell you.
Hi, this is Lisa Mogensen. Can you hear me?
Yes, Lisa.
Hi. I was trying to remember how to actually unmute my line, and I wonder if there might be other people on the line that are trying to figure that out. So I pressed *6 to be able to unmute my line. I don't personally have a question. I just thought that might be helpful information for other folks on the line.
Very good, Lisa. And you see, she just provided guidance. You see what I'm saying?
Lisa, I have a question. My name is Naomi, and I guess I'm curious about how to correct if you've received guidance in the past and haven't been able to fully carry it out, or received different kinds of guidance that became murky or nebulous. And like, I mean, I can feel in my own life the way that it's caused chaos and confusion and wanting to kind of wipe the slate clean, mm-hmm. because I can feel the noise and wanting to just really go back to a place of clarity.
Gotcha. So were you able to take good notes on what you were told to do?
Some of the divination has been more direct, and some of it's just been like through lots of different ways, ceremonies and dreams and all that kind of stuff. And so I think it's just like, it's like an over accumulation of information and mm-hmm. A layering of different traditions, and maybe mm-hmm. having too many traditions and beings and energies in the field. Mm-hmm. So it's even hard to keep track of, you know, all of it. And I just feel like a need for a big reset.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you really have to do a clearing, or what I call flatlining. Okay. It's like, okay, there has been a lot of confusion. Do you have Jambalaya? You have my book, Jambalaya? Okay. I would say, first of all, take a look at the section, I think it's chapter 7, where I talk about a Legba, you know, and you, one of the things that you can do there is go to a Legba and make an offering and ask him to close the door on all the confusion of the past. Close the door on all of the confusion of the past and ask him to show you which door to walk through to get the guidance that you need now. Now, you know, that may mean that something you were trying to do in the past, you have to give it up, right? You know. But for sure, if you release, you know, nature abhors a vacuum. If you release something and at the same time invoke that that space be filled with something better, different, and more in alignment with your true destiny, then you just have to pay attention. I mean, the thing that always comes to mind for me, when I was younger, I used to say that one day I was going to win an Oscar. Now, the truth of the matter is, y'all know I ain't got the temperament to put up with all that bullshit that goes on in Hollywood. I don't want nobody telling me what kind of dress to wear. And I ain't going to pretend to be in love with nobody that, you know, I'm not going to put up with that kind of stuff, right? So, I kept saying that, but in truth, I'm a storyteller who, you know, whose main thing is telling stories with spiritual content. And one day, you know, I said, stop lying to yourself about Hollywood, because you ain't finna do that, you know, let that go. Once I let that go, I remember doing a storytelling for a group of women who took 5 mother of pearl abalone shells in increasing size and laid them inside of each other. And at the end of my performance, they wrapped that in a yellow silk scarf. And they said, Louisa Tisch, we are presenting you with your community Oscar. Wow. You know, and it was like, yeah, okay. Yeah, that, you know, what I really wanted was recognition for quality creativity. And I got it, you see. So when you wipe away the failures or the things that did not manifest or the half work, when you close the door on that, open the door to the pure essence of what you want. What is your real definition of success? Make sense?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Thank you, Yay Yay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, my name is Marcelle. Can you see me?
Yes, I can see you. How you doing, baby?
I'm all right. I think I've had this on the entire time. I didn't realize it, so I'm a little embarrassed.
Embarrassed about what?
I had my video on and I didn't realize it was on, so I was walking around the house and doing.
Yeah, I saw you.
You saw me.
I saw you. At least you got your pants on.
Did I have pants on? I had pants on. I guess. Yeah. Oh, God.
Okay. People have made that mistake when they didn't have their pants on, you know.
Well, I'm fully dressed. What is my question? Well, I've been emailing you quite a bit. My name is Marcelle. Probably seen a lot of my emails. And I am curious about what you think is needed in terms of for folks who want to continue to do this work on a larger scale, to do and talk about African ancestral worship and African heritage religions.
Mm-hmm.
What's needed? What do you think is needed? And how do you feel is, what kind of impact is important at the moment?
Mm-hmm. Where are you located?
I live in New York.
You live in New York. Okay. So here's the thing. There's so many different ways that people do this. You know, you can do what the Brazilians call being encantado. That is, there are people who have altars for the orishas and they do, you know, they worship and learn and do things by themselves. Accepting guidance, maybe they go get a reading once in a while. There is the business of joining, finding a functioning ELA and joining it and becoming a member of an extended family where you get lots of guidance and lots of interaction. And there is the in-between place, which I'm providing quite a bit, where there are small study groups where we do things online. And then the way I'm planning for 2017 is 4 times a year, I wanna have a week-long intensive where the people gather in person in a particular place, and those who have been online students have special work to do, but the general public is invited to participate in a weekend of activity. Now, you know, in the study groups, which the class in January is one, there's a couple of ways to go. First of all, let me say that everybody, irrespective of your ancestry, is entitled to do ancestor reverence work. No matter what your ancestry is, no matter where you come from, you wouldn't be here if it were not for your ancestors. And it is important to understand both the blessings and the liabilities of your ancestry. Okay, that work has to be done by everybody. Then there are various programs that we can create, especially with my individual study groups, where different levels of achievement, different levels of knowledge are acquired and used and recognized and honored, but does still not take you as far as becoming an Orisha priestess. That is, you know, that's way up there. And to be honest with you, for, you know, there's some people around who will say, well, you know, bring me X number of dollars and I'll initiate you. That's all that is to it. I don't function like that. It is important to me, first of all, that you have a clear understanding about who you are, that you are able to interact with your ancestors, that you are in a functioning community where there is mutual help. And then if we have the support of your ancestors, and if the Orishas say that you are supposed to go into deeper study, if the Orishas say that it is your destiny to be initiated, then that is when I step into the role of initiator. And I don't care what nobody says or thinks or feels, because then I'm doing what Oshun wants me to do. You see what I'm saying? So it calls for commitment, patience, and courage. You will find different congregations that have different points of view on it. You know, there are some that are Black nationalists and that there's only Black people in it. There's some that are pretty much Cuban oriented, and there are only Latin people in it. There are some that are like Maile has always been global, with people from every nationality, quote unquote, race and culture in the world, because that is the directive that I was given when I was initiated. You know, before I came to Earth, I agreed to be a person with a global perspective. And to be honest with you, that is the wealth of my life. The wealth of my life is that somehow I am blessed. It don't matter where I go. If I go to Australia, if I go among Native Americans, if I go to Africa, everywhere I go, the indigenous people recognize me as somebody that they are willing to sit around a fire with, you know, and that's the blessing. If that's the kind of community that you are looking for, know that those communities exist. But to get to it, we've got to do the ancestor work, and we have to have their approval. I think in the 40 years that I've been doing this work, I've only had two times when I asked somebody's ancestors if it brought good fortune for them to work with me, and the answer was no. And in any case, if you're working with me and your ancestors tell me, well, you know, really, it is better for her to become a Buddhist nun, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to contact the Buddhist nuns that I know and see if I can hook you up with them. You see what I'm saying? The thing here is for you to get on the path that you are supposed to be on. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Somebody wants to know if they can ask via chat. Yes, if you type in the question. Somebody got a question they want to type in? Now, y'all better ask me questions now.
Hi, Louis Satish.
Yes.
Okay, how are you? My name is Monique.
Monique? Okay, yes. Monique, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I was one of the shy ones.
Mm-hmm. You know, I don't hang with that. Speak on up, babe.
Okay. I wrote my question down so I could express it clearly. Mm-hmm. But my question is, being a part of the African diaspora, mm-hmm. both sides of my relatives are from South Carolina in the United States. Mm-hmm. I feel there is a void to my cultural identity and knowing my bloodline. No matter my spiritual experiences throughout my life, there's still a lingering feeling that something is missing or who am I?
Mm-hmm.
I want to learn my family tree and lineage. And so how does one go about putting these broken pieces together again, and how can divination assist with this?
Uh-huh. You know, there's three things I want to say. We are very fortunate in that we live in an age of DNA testing. We live in an age of things like Henry Louis Gates's 23andMe, where we can research our lineage with or without the cooperation of elders. You know, when I was coming up, we had the problem of if you went and asked grandma who were your parents, they didn't want to talk about it. They from the old country, them the bad old days.
Right.
You know, you don't have to put up with that no more. You can get your DNA analyzed. You can hire people to track your stuff without talking so much to them and receiving that kind of obstruction. But it is also true, in my experience, that people who can't get that information on exterior, and even people who are adopted, once you start doing ancestor reverence work, you are sending a message out. And like a homing pigeon, that desire, that message brings back home that which you are asking for. Now, it arrives in strange ways. People who know stuff about your lineage show up. You walk down the hall in the library and a book falls on your head. You go to sleep and dreams show up. And during the divination process, the way that I do it, there's a place where we call the names of the ancestors that we know. And we also call upon those who are not known. And I ask that those who are benevolent towards you, that they come close, that they stand up, that they identify themselves. And I'm amazed. I've been doing this for years, but you know, during the calling of the names, some name will stand out, or I'll imagine I see somebody stand up. And when I ask the person, well, who is Lucy May? And then it turns out that, Lucy May talks to this person in their sleep. Lucy May has the same birthday. You know, the ancestors want to be known. They want to be known by us. And so when we start saying that, they definitely respond. But you could start with National Geographic 2.0, DNA testing. You could get... 23andMe or Ancestry.com or something like that started. But know that once you sincerely ask the question, answers come rolling in. And it's very interesting because for me, when I had my DNA analyzed by National Geographic, I still have to do some of the other ones. But National Geographic sent me back something that said, you know, you're 80-some percent African, you are some teen percent Mediterranean, and also Mongolian. And that made so much, that made sense out of some crazy stuff that used to happen to me that I couldn't figure out, you know. It's like I cut my teeth as a child on Greek and Roman and Mediterranean mythology. And I thought that was because that was all that was available to me. There are other things in my personality that, you know, I thought that I loved fabric just because I was a selfish, greedy heifer. No, it turns out that fabric is very, very sacred to African women and has a big history in the independence and the life of women in several countries. And most of all, I have had several experiences, dream experiences, where I was interacting with Genghis Khan. And so, you know, it's like, whoa, okay, maybe. The thing about it is you have to accept ancestor work as an unfolding mystery that leads you to the kinship with all people. When I teach it, when I was teaching it in university, I started out having people to 23andMe and ancestors. Yeah, I started out having people to analyze their bloodline and then a culture that they had an affinity with, and then a culture that they thought was absolutely alien and repulsive. I insisted upon, you know, if somebody said, well, I can't stand people from the Middle East, then you had to, in that third rung, study Middle Eastern ancestor stuff so that you would see the commonality, the human commonality between it, your culture of affinity, and your blood culture. So it's a big thing. I also want to say that Lulu Press has a book called A Festival of the Bones, Celebrating the Ancestors. It's about $15, and the author is the Elders Council of Ileo Rumilau Shum. That's my Ile. And it tells you a whole bunch of things you'll want to know about ancestor reverence. In that book, there is a story called An Adoptee's Journey about how one of the former members of my Ile who was adopted did her ancestor reverence work. So there is never reason for despair, except if you keep trying to ask grandma something and she don't want to answer, don't keep picking at her because she'll just shut down.
Thank you. That was very enlightening and answered everything. Thank you so very much. And I appreciate your time.
Ah,
sure. Yeah. There's a question from someone who typed in on chat.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Latasha, and Latasha's question is, how do I divine for or offer guidance to mentally ill family?
Woo! Yeah, baby. Well, you see, that's one of those situations where I would want to really sit with you and do divination to find out how much you can do and what you should do. You know, there's not a general, I'm reluctant to give a general response to that, because I'm not sure of what we are calling mental illness. there is a difference between a person having a neurological problem like a tumor on the brain or a congenital, schizophrenia. Yeah, schizophrenia is a big one. Again, it depends on whether or not the person has been given medication. You know, I used to be a mental patients advocate and I was busting people out of Napa State Hospital. One of the unfortunate things is that we have a culture, a drug culture, because oftentimes things that we're calling schizophrenia, et cetera, has a spiritual base, is often connected to traumatic events, and sometimes, I dare say, is even associated with people having attracted negative entities. But the problem is, I found that the more that Western drugs are administered, the more difficult it is to get the spiritual breakthrough that is needed, because oftentimes the drugs are blocking the work. It is overall a societal problem, because in an intact spiritual culture, we would have specific healing huts for such things. You know, we do have abodes for different levels of upsets of consciousness, but there are no general rituals that I can recommend to you. I would need to divine for the specific case. Yeah, get in touch with me personally. You're welcome. This is a big thing. You know, the statute of limitations is up, so I can talk about it now. But back in 1975, I worked for the Bay Area Committee for Alternatives to Psychiatry. And a lot of times people would call, and when they talked to me, it was clear that they were having a spiritual problem. And I'd make recommendations, and they often work. Also, there's a couple named Stan and Christina Groff, G-R-O-F, who function out of California. And they have a thing called the Spiritual Emergency Network, where if somebody was having a psychotic break, they would actually go and handle that person. I can say that we really need to have a cadre of priestesses who are kind of like midwives, who are trained to handle things in the early stages, like the number of women who have postpartum depression or mania, the kinds of things that go on when there's been a major trauma in a family, the need to recognize transgenerational trauma, and especially to know to have the resources to be able to get our people off of medication before the medication dominates their minds. Those things, we really need to be organized around that. Yeah.
So yay. Mm-hmm. At this time, I want to invite everyone, if you are not on Yay's email list and you for certain want to stay in touch, for example, receiving a replay of today's call, as well as receiving announcements about her January course, and to know about her divination services, would you please send your email to Yay's email? So what we need is your name and your email address, and I'm posting it right now in the chat. It's yayayluisateach@gmail.com. That's your way of making certain we're staying in touch, because with Facebook, we don't know that you'll always get the message, but via email, we can be in communication.
Yeah. Yes, that's really good, people. I know we're about to sign off, and so there's two prayers I want to ask you all to do for me, because you know prayer is remote healing. It really is. On the 23rd of December, I am going to have a surgical procedure on my spine. Okay, I've been in incredible pain to the point where I cannot exercise and I can't walk a certain amount. And I'm not going to be swallowing a bunch of pills and all of that kind of crap. So this is the least invasive procedure that they can do, which involves, there's a bone, there's two bones that's pressing on a nerve, and they're going to burn the nerve so that I don't feel that anymore. Okay. So I'm asking for a good surgery, a good procedure and timely healing. My daughter's going to come stay with me for a couple of days while I'm doing this, blah, 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 blah. The other thing is that, my mother crossed in January. And I have been living in her house and trying to, do the posts, the work that needs to be done with family and such behind that. But I need y'all to pray for me that I am able to attract the home, the right house, in the right place, under the right conditions, so that I can come out of the grieving process enough to be fully functional again. And that being fully functional includes, having the physical space and the head space to do my writing, to do my artwork, to do my performance, to cultivate my relationships and that kind of stuff. I'm looking for a harmonious domestic situation. And your prayers are appreciated. Now, over here at this house where I am, I'm looking at the women in the kitchen tasting things and smiling. So I'm gonna get off of here with y'all, because I got a feeling these women gonna eat everything up whilst I'm still over here talking to y'all, and that will not work. Y'all know that ain't gonna work, right? Oh, people, love to everyone.
Thank you.
Prayers for me, okay?
Prayers.
All right.
Lots of prayers.
Lots of prayers. Okay. I'll see you all later.
Ashay.
Love to you, Keith. Thanks for your time today.
You're welcome. What y'all cooking over there?
Huh? Enjoy. Blessings.
Thank you.